Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to talk about something a little different. While you're looking there, Proverbs 22:13 says, "The slothful man," and what's slothful? That's the lazy man, "says, 'There is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets.'" Let me say that again. "The slothful man says, 'There is a lion without or outside. I shall be slain in the streets.'" The lion is an illusion, but it was an excuse for this person, whatever his lie was, or he believed that he couldn't go outside. And that illusion became part of his life. And there's so many people I know now that don't want to go outside. They don't want to talk to people. They're afraid of everything. And this has been, the last 4 years, traumatic for very many, many people. But we want to kind of hit some things. The lazy man is afraid of a lion. That is, in fact, an illusion. It's his fears and his making excuses because of his fears. And the Lord never wanted us to be afraid. Fear isn't something he even wanted us to know. And he didn't want us to know evil. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, let's look here. And we know this story, but I want to talk about illusions because we're living in a matrix. And when you come out of the matrix, when you come out of the world system and the beast system, you don't just get there right away. It takes time. I have two Facebook pages, which I'm not really on too much anymore, but in horror, I look at what I used to post 12 years ago. The people that I endorsed, and I was just like, I can't believe I was under this, and I thought this preacher was good, or this prophet was good, and this was a good thing, and that is just like, it's just humbling. And so what do you have to do to get away from this illusion that these preachers are teaching us the truth? Is you got to face the fact that we had to start over. And we were talking earlier about even learning how to pray, because we came out of the word of faith, the Gnostic, the mystics, whatever you want to call them, and how we just boss God around. And now how do we pray? And I liked what John said. He said, we ask. We ask the Lord for protection. We ask for his help. We ask for wisdom. And this week, after I preached last week, it really was a message kind of going against what the culture wants. And I was exhausted. I was totally exhausted. And I was just like, something is not right. It was like a fatigue that wasn't even normal. And I just started praying and started saying, this is spiritual warfare. We're under warfare and we know it not, because in our churches we were taught there really isn't a devil. He's under your feet. He wasn't acknowledged in many, many, many ways, because when you're taught that you have authority over everything, you don't have to worry about anything. Well, now people are shaking and they're realizing the things we've been taught are wrong. But what is truth? And then we because I was in the church so high into this system that I was in with all the preachers and all the stuff, I started seeing that not only are these lies in the church, because the church is the target of the enemy. He wants to infiltrate. That's his assignment. The religious leaders always fought against Jesus. And they want their institutions to promote their doctrines to bring in their Antichrist. But then I realized that there's also the political side, the leaven of Herod's side, is so much hoya going on right now between the circus of the, you know, this guy's going to save you. This guy's already saved you. We just have a great economy. And this one's coming because, you know, he's not a part of this whole system. And if you're not aware of what truth is, you're going to fall for this lion, this illusion of, this guy's going to come and save us. Because they always go, they switch the pendulum, if you know anything about what's going on. And there's so much I can't even talk about anymore, but we want to know truth. And it's going to be harder and harder to hear truth and find truth because of what they're doing and how they're trying to shadow everybody. And I have been for years, which is very discouraging. But I want to thank the people that are supporting us. You're keeping me going. I'm behind in some of my emails, and that's another challenging part is sometimes I don't get the emails, or if I respond, they don't get it. So there's a whole lot of confusion and things going on because we're in a war. And the war is for our mind, and our war is for truth. And thank God Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't need a new prophetic word to tell you what God is doing. All these people that are following the Jello Jesus, really, I mean, all these different things that are going on, and they're illusions. They're illusions of Christianity that are not real. They are not real. They're systems that have been set into place to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what a false prophet in John 10:10, his mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we have an enemy. And so we have to know who our enemy is. And that's why we talk the way we do. So you know, we don't want to fall into the illusions and the mirages and the lies of what the enemy wants. Because what he's trying to do in these end times is unlike anything we've ever seen. Things are moving. And now the agendas are moving up. Instead of, they said 2030, they're saying 2025. Why? Because a lot of people are seeing the things of the enemy. The Bible says the things of secret are going to be known. And God is revealing things. He is shaking things. And you have to know God is greater than our enemy. And even though it looks like we're losing and he's losing, you have to look at the back of the book. We win. We chose the right side. And so we have to walk in the Spirit. Know who you are in the Lord. You are a child of his. And there's also child and children of the devil. And the works of the devil, they're going to do. They're going to lie. They're going to program you. They're going to try to get you to believe things that are not true for your safety, for your protection. And unfortunately, these things are ramping up. So we have to make sure that we're not like that lazy man that says, oh, you know, there's nothing we can do. We're just going to sit in our houses and just no talk to anybody, and I don't trust anything. And you can't get that attitude, because God wants to still use us, and we are a light. And I think it's time that people are starting to ask questions, people that normally wouldn't. There's some you're never going to reach. The sower sows the word. Some just, you know, they fall off and they just, there's nothing. But there's other people, like how we came around. There's hungry. They want truth. They think they're in the truth and they don't know they're an illusion. They think that they can decree and declare and have it, whatever they say. Well, how's that working? It doesn't work. And people get frustrated, and then they confess, and they get shamed, and the religious system is meant to get you away from God. It really doesn't want you to know the truth. So anyway, here in Genesis 3, we see how the enemy works. He started with deception, and the end game of him is going to be deception. And the deception has never went away. And that's why, even though we don't know a lot of things, because we, you know, we're whatever age we are, his deception's been going on since the Garden of Eden here. So the serpent, he was more subtle, and till any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, right away. Now, God's not going to talk to you, you Bible thumpers, you narrow pathers, whatever you want to call it. They're constantly coming against the Bible. In their movies, everything is a mockery of Christianity. Another way they program you to not believe truth is their comedians. They're comedians, especially late at night. They always mock and make fun of truth, and they put it in such a way to program you to dismiss truth. That's one of their agents. That's one of their gatekeepers, to constantly bombard you with programming to make you doubt reality. They love you to doubt reality. They want you to live in a metaverse. They want you to live in a false social media system that all your friends are online, but you can't talk to anybody. You can't see anybody. It's a fake world. So we have fake everything, fake news, and now they want fake meat, fake. I just heard that the cheeses now are genetically, everything is genetically changing. It's turning away from what God made to all this other stuff. But we have to see that we have an enemy and he's after your mind, but you don't have to let him have it. And you have a choice. You have a will. God gave us a free will. Do you know how powerful that is? Even the last 4 years where people were conned into doing stuff, this and that, you still had to write a paper and give consent, right? Well, this is coming around again, and they want your consent. And you have a freedom of choice. And the enemy wants, through transhumanism, to take away your freedom of choice. Yeah. God gave you a free will. So we have to use it, yeah. Right? We have to make choices. And we have to use it and be empowered by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And know that there's nothing new under the sun. But he wants to get your mind. He wants to get us afraid. And right from the beginning here, he's having Adam and Eve doubt God. And the thing I was focusing on today was, you shall not eat of every tree. See, this is a symbol, I think, a tree, really. But the enemy, in his symbolism, always uses trees. As above, so below. The tree symbolizes, really, it's a rebellion against God. I mean, not all trees, you know what I'm saying, but I'm going here to the enemy's camp of what the enemy wanted Adam and Eve to disobey God and to partake of this tree that they were not supposed to. God has boundaries. He has, you know, you can have all this, you can enjoy life, but what is the enemy? He wants you to focus on something you don't have. And he's still doing that today. He wants us to focus on something you don't have. The commercials, the ads, you're not strong enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not thin enough. You're not rich enough. Everyone's having fun on social media but you. Let me, oh, they're eating that tonight? Oh, they're going to have that? Oh, this and that? The whole world is to make you not happy with what God's given you, to be content. So here he's starting off with this tree in the midst of the garden here, and God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And what the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God did not want them to know evil. That really hit me today. And he's given us a conscience, and he's given us a knowledge that he is there. He's created things, but you can sear that. And many have. Many have went into the occult because they wanted that power. They wanted the power and the magic and the sorcery, and they wanted all this stuff because there is a power in the occult. And the young people nowadays, through the Harry Potter whole thing, it's opened up portals that we've never had opened before in our children. And many of the parents, you've opened up this door yourself, buying them all these things, thinking it was harmless. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to think. He's harmless. But he wants everyone to do evil. And then, knowing good and evil, a tree desired to make one wise. They want the knowledge that they're not supposed to have. There's an evil, and I've been listening to testimonies of people that have come out of the occult, come out of terrible things. And some of this was not their choice. It was through their family lines and the evil of all these rich people and what they've done, and it's just too much to go into. But there's still a choice. No matter what we've done, what kind of sin we've made, whatever, there's still a choice to repent, to come out of it while we still have our mind intact, right? But the enemy wants you to know things God didn't want you to know. He wants you to become a part of an underworld that is totally, people don't even have a reality of what's really going on in the enemy's camps. In the book of Ezekiel, they looked through and they saw the priests ministering and they were doing things they were not supposed to be doing in the temple. That's a key. They haven't stopped.
Right.
These people have not stopped. They've went underground, but now they want to bring that up. They want to bring up all this stuff that we're starting to see on TV, stuff that we never could believe would be on TV. When I was younger, we watched, what was it, Gone with the Wind, and they swore in there one word, and it was banned. You know, now you can hardly find anything without all these cussing, swearing words, right? But it's a tree desired to make one wise. So they're not happy with the knowledge that God gave them. They want more power. They want more money. They want something. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So behind this, follow the money trail of what many of these evil people are doing. And the eyes of them were opened, and then they knew they were naked. Before, they didn't have any of this knowledge. They didn't have the knowledge of being sinful. They didn't have the knowledge of being afraid. They weren't afraid. God didn't create us to be afraid. He didn't create us to have all these rituals and worship all these other gods. And Satan wants to be worshiped, and he wants to be like God. He said, I will, in Isaiah 14, all these I will be like. He wants to be worshipped. And that's part of what all this stuff is, where people are turning to paganism once again, and they're bringing the paganism, and have been for quite a while, into our so-called churches. And see, I think this is interesting how they made themselves aprons. Well, if you know anything about the secret societies, they make themselves aprons. They're still doing it. Yeah. And many of these societies, they're secret because if you knew what really went on, you would be horrified. And some people that have come out of these situations, they know what is required and to go to the next level of all these things. It's just pure wickedness. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's principalities and powers. So once again, we have to get in our prayer closet and say, Lord, thank you for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for my mind. Thank you for giving me strength. Help me decide, should I eat this, not eat that? What's in this? What's in our food? What's happening to us? And there's some choices that we're going to have to make. Sometimes we've just ate too much. We're going to have to start learning to live, to eat to live, not just live to eat. You know, because we kind of became a gluttonous nation. Well, things are changing. But here you see their aprons right there, the symbolism. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And then in verse 10, I was afraid because I was naked and I. Now all of a sudden it's I-centered. Before it was God-centered, but because they disobeyed and they partook of this tree, now everything's changed. And it's changed for humankind. But we do have a choice. We do have a will. So every day we're being bombarded with illusions. False realities that mislead us, deceive us, and cause us trauma. The news, the trauma of the news, the trauma of watching movies. There's so much death and killing in the video games, in the movies. They're desensitizing people to evil. The illusion becomes our truth, and we fall in love with lies. In the church, it's, what are the prophets saying? They don't go to their Bible and read what the Bible says. That old thing, we got to have a fresh word from one of these guys, you know, or gals that just went to heaven. And then in the world, the lies of this politician is going to save us. Oh, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And unfortunately, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In other words, my people aren't so bright. They're not too bright. They fall for anything, right? So we have to be discerning. Ask questions. Illusions divide us. They enslave us. Just like Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden, a manipulation of the mind. All of a sudden now, they're having... Well, what about this? How come God doesn't want us to have that? How come we can't have that? And we're always focusing on the things that we shouldn't do. Oh, I want to venture into drugs. I want to see how my mind will work. I want to delve into the sexual stuff. I want to just kind of cross the boundaries, right? So manipulation of the mind, a mind game to distract or misdirect our focus. And what happens, our attention becomes the deceiver's playground. An illusionist, a magician, they're always trying to break your focus. Look over here so I can do this over here. So whenever there's a huge distraction, sometimes I go, okay, what's really going on? What's really going on? Well, they have agendas to take away your bang bangs. Our attention becomes the deceiver's playground to what? Believe information that is not true. How do you know? Were you there? How do you know that's really true? How do we know what's really happening? Because what they put on the media is on all the media. It's like they all get a memo. This is what you're going to talk about. Deception hides the truth and misleads someone into believing a lie or going into a wrong path. So the media is programming people to be afraid. To be afraid of things they can't see. Oh, the next one's coming now. Okay, now you got to get another injection. I want to ask you, what was in the last one? Do you know what was in it? And why should you allow something that you don't know We have to start reading labels. And if they don't disclose for many, many years, they would never tell you what was in a beer, was in alcohol. What's in there that they do not want you to know that you're drinking? An illusion is a trick of the senses. Something that is not as it appears. And one of the main things that I wanted to talk about was the illusion of choice. It causes people to believe they have more control over their lives than they actually do. Choices can be presented in a way that guides people or herds them and benefits those that are presenting the choices. Okay, we have two parties. Now we have two people running again, the same two people. And most people are like, they're asking a lot of questions this time. How come we don't have a choice? And did they ever ask you, these polls, did they ever ask you, have you ever been polled? Where do they make these polls up?
Right.
Illusions. We have ads to appeal to people's fears. Oh, you're going to get this. You know, you're old. You're going to get double pneumonia. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. If you watch, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, so who's giving it to us? The enemy. He works through fear, guilt, and shame. God doesn't shame you. The enemy shames you. So they appeal to people's fears and they sway opinions on political candidates. If people believe they have choices, they won't question the system that goes against their choices. So this gives people a false sense of freedom. We think we're free because we can choose A or B. The illusion of choice is a powerful tool to manipulate and control people. Two political parties are given to us that promise hope for our countries. Who recommends these candidates? How do they become a candidate? Could anyone run for president? Prime minister? I was on the playground this week talking to a mother that just came back from one of the countries that she was in. And she said, it's total totalitarian there. And she said, whoever ran against this guy that won, he put them all, the rest of them, in prison. I was like, wow. So it fools us into accepting chains. Oh, you voted for him because you voted for him. It's really your fault. And now that you get the shame. Now we're in the shame game because it's your fault. And then they can do what they want. If you know how the system really works, very few people, unless they have studied to show themselves approved, understand the political system. The illusion of truth. Now we have controlled fact checkers. Who decides what truth is? They decide for you. And now they're trying to take some other platforms down. Well, oh good, I'm glad that platform's going down, but you don't know the clauses in that because they want to also be able to control other people's websites, whatever information. It's an information war. Then the illusion of truth. It must come from TV, because if it's from TV, it's true. You know, you can tell people that that's all they listen to is TV because they vomit up exactly what the TV says. Or if a celebrity says it. It's got to be, if Taylor says it, it's got to be good for you. Or the alphabet agencies. And if you don't go along with this narrative, you're a weirdo. You cannot be trusted. You are a tinfoil hat theorist, all the things we could say, but we won't. An illusionist is a magician who performs tricks that deceive the eye. Objects seem to disappear and appear. They distort reality. But when they do that to you, they don't want you to know what they're doing. Oh, it's magic. I did a study on how many times the word magic and sorcerer is in the Bible. Do you know it's something that we don't talk about today? But it's very alive today. We have entertainers. But if they're involved with the occult, they gain their power from demonic forces. Not only in the world, but also in the church. The Egyptians worshiped many gods, and they still do. And magic played an important part of their high priest rituals. Pharaohs always had magicians. Magic and sorcery played a major role in the religions of Egypt. In 2 Timothy 3:8, James and Jambres had supernatural power that came from Satan. This is the thing people don't realize. The enemy is really an enemy of God, but he's also an enemy of a follower of our Lord, because now you are part of the problem, because you've joined up with the Lord. And the Psalms 2 tells us that he's against the Lord and his anointed. Well, you're, according to John, you're anointed. Whether you feel like it or not, God says you are his sanctuary. Now he lives inside of you. If you accept him into your heart, now we are the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what does the devil want? He wants your temple. He wants to weaken the enemy. He wants to do whatever he has to do to destroy you and make you weak by giving you things that are supposed to make you better. Both my siblings were on that antibiotic, and they're both really struggling. One of them's using a cane, and one even can't even walk right now. It's because what they're telling us is good is not good. I could go on that. Magicians used secret arts, Exodus 7:11, and made frogs come up out of the land of Egypt. How did they do this? By demonic power. And this is one of the things the Bible talks about in the end times. There's going to be signs and wonders, but not from the Lord. There's going to be demonic signs and wonders. And the church world is not prepared for this because they don't believe in a devil. They think he's under our feet and he's defeated and he's gone. Well, he's not yet. He's not gone yet. There still is a devil loose. And Jesus has conquered him. But at this point, we have to walk it out. Our total freedom is coming in the world that they tell us isn't going to happen. They don't believe in heaven or hell. Now in Acts chapter 8, it's just a couple things I want to share because people aren't even reading their Bibles anymore. But you are. I know you are. Acts 8, 9 through 11. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, what did he use? Used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Whenever anyone starts bragging on themselves, how great they are. They've done something nobody else has ever done in politics or blah, blah, blah. Right there, that should be a red flag to you. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So just because you come out of witchcraft doesn't mean you're free. You got to go through the threshing floor. You got to separate the wheat from the chaff. You got to let God take out things, wrong motives. And here, this guy still had a bad motive. But the good news is he did repent. He did come out of that, but he wanted them to lay hands on him so that he could have the same power. He wanted signs and wonders. He still wanted to be famous. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, verse 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered him money, saying, give me also the power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And then he says to repent for your wickedness, that your thoughts of your heart might be forgiven. Pray for the Lord, he said to me, that none of these things which you've spoken come upon me. And sometimes people just need to know the truth. Your motive is wrong. You're trying to do it for the wrong thing. You're in it for the fame, for the fortune, for people to follow you. And that's not, Jesus said, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach about ourselves. So these preachers that all they do is tell stories about themselves, bye, see ya. You're not preaching the gospel, you're preaching yourself. Now another one in Acts 13, Bar-Jesus, the magician, he was a false prophet, and he wanted to hear what they were saying. But in verse 8, Elymas, E-L-Y-M-A-S, he was a sorcerer. He wanted to stop him. And that's what the enemy does. He wants to stop people from hearing the Bible. They're so threatened by truth. And that's why they mix it with lies. And in John 8:44, Jesus said, you're the father of the devil. The lusts of your father you're going to do. Not everyone's a child of God like they want us to believe. The lusts of their father they want to do. And what did he say? He said, from the beginning, he was a liar. He was a murderer. So if he was, he still is. He's a liar and he's a murderer. Deception was the first weapon, and it's going to be all the way through to the end, the last weapon. He wants to deceive us. He wants us to believe things and illusions and fears. He wants to get us to be herded to this and that, to control us through our minds. God doesn't want us to be. There are wolves among us, and their job is to devour you. They're truth haters in positions of authority. And yes, they've invaded the church. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. What does he do? Who deceives the whole world. Who deceives the whole world. How does he do that? Through media, through programming, through their talking heads, through their so-called truth tellers that are really gatekeepers, which is controlled opposition. There's so many people I don't listen to anymore, because when I start listening to them and they push something, they'll tell you a lot of truth, but then all of a sudden they're going to push this candidate or that. This one, right away you can tell they're in the right left. I'm sorry, but there's truth. Who deceives the whole world? He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Deception is his game, and he likes to cover it up. That's why these societies are secret. That's why he does things in the dark. That's why the Bible says in the end, the truth is going to be known. Yeah. The secrets of the enemy are going to be exposed. It's in the act of hiding the truth, making people believe lies, to give false information as weapons to manipulate and control people. You better take this or you're going to die. I'm going to take an aspirin, but you better take one because, I'll have to take an aspirin so you can live. And I can't go into a restaurant, but if I sit down, it won't get me. But if I stand up, it's going to get me. But if I sit down, this is stupid. This is absolutely illusions. We live in a world of illusions. This is no accident. We are trained to shut up and march to the culture. You better not say it. We're going to take you off the air. You better not say this. You better not say that. We're giving you this and that and this and that. This is history repeating itself. If you know anything about what they used to do in different countries, you become silenced. You have to know the Lord in these end times. We know him. We serve him. We obey him. We choose him. Advertising is just the tip of the iceberg of the matrix. A system of control that programs your mind to believe you're not pretty enough. You need implants. You need muscle. You need a six-pack stomach. You're just not athletic enough. You're not this, you're not that. You listen to TV and programming along, you don't feel good about yourself. You just keep buying what they tell you because you're being programmed that you're ugly. Now you're too old. You can't have a wrinkle. Get off. Put them in a nursing home. Shut them up. They're good for nothing. Well, the Bible says that there's wisdom in old age. We should be going to these people and getting information from them. I wish my dad was still alive and I could ask him all these questions about World War II. But I didn't know the questions to ask back then. Now I've studied some and I realize what he's been through. And it's like, oh, just if I would have known to ask, to sit down at the feet of these grandparents, to ask them, what do you know? What do you see that we don't see? You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. And now you're not having enough fun. So what are they doing now? They're bullying us with technology. You're being bullied. I got something on an email that they were telling me now for AI, I can just do this, that, and the other for ministry. You don't have to do all this work. Just sign up here and they'll do all this. You just send a few pictures in, you send this and that, and it'll do all your work. Sorry, I do not consent. I'm not going that way. I don't care if we don't have a big audience. I just pray, God, show me the people, find me that whoever needs to, because the way is narrow. And we all have to do what God's telling us to do. We have to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, even when people don't want to hear it. A couple things in closing here. The illusions of Christianity. This is doctrines of demons that is constantly going on now in all of our churches. Hopefully you have one that's not going this way, that all paths lead to God. Jesus was Christ, but we all have the Christ Spirit. Heaven and hell are here on earth. There is no eternal hell. Jesus was just a prophet and a good man. Good works are the way to reach God. Just have enough good works. There are no bad people, just bad choices. Doctrines of demons, illusions. Stop looking for the pie in the sky, and by, we can bring heaven here to earth by embracing all religions and all people. Sin, the cross and blood sacrifice, and redemption from sin are bloody, man-made ideas. And lastly, if you're still with me, in the Bible, the rainbow was a reality, that God was never going to flood the earth again. It's his covenant to us. Never going to destroy the earth by a flood. But the new world, the occult meaning, has many names, many different avenues, uses the rainbows to symbolize the building of the rainbow bridge between man and Lucifer. Remember the five I wills of Satan, Isaiah 14:13-14. I will be like the Most High God. He has not stopped in his mission. And unfortunately, many people don't realize he's still on his mission. He wants to be worshiped as God. He created false gods and religions of his original sins. Self-worship. People want to be famous. They want to be known. They want to be seen. You know what the price they pay? To be famous? Self-serving, self-will, do as thou wilt. No boundaries, partake of the tree, do whatever God tells you not to do. He just doesn't want you to have fun. Satan still lies. Even if he puts on an evangelical suit or a clerical collar, it's the future church. That's why I say the Bible says, come out from amongst them and be separate. Come out from amongst them. Start having fellowships in your home. Start doing things with people that you know. It's a church of the future that speaks only positive and eliminates the negative. It raises no standard and requires no repentance, no discomfort, no conviction. Good sermons should make you squirm. Lord, I needed that. Not just, oh, they needed to hear that. Oh, they just needed to hear that. Sometimes we should not be comfortable because the Holy Spirit is trying to get the chaff out of us. He's trying to get us to get away from the flesh. He wants us to walk with him and to treat people right and not be deceived in these end times. But the future church wants no conviction. Love you as you are. You don't need to change. God loves all of us. Well, he does. That's why he paid the price. But they don't tell you that. It's a socialistic club. We have a program for that. We have a program for that. We have a program for that. It's a social club that kisses the face of paganism, occultism, Gnosticism, and mysticism. These are the enemies that we're fighting within the church. And lastly, the Luciferian agenda doesn't eliminate the church. It's not going to get rid of the church. They use those church buildings for many things, above ground and underground. They want not to eliminate the church, but neutralize it. Degree by degree, no conviction, no preaching, just tell stories. Have a Disney church. Have fun. Everything's fun. Everything's fun. There's no threat in fun. And we should have fun. I've always wanted to be a fun mom, fun grandma, but you still have to give the truth. I loved it when my granddaughter the other day, she goes, "That's fake news." She's 11. She was calling out fake news. And I tell her things, and just prepare. This is what you're going to have to face. You know, they say you came from a monkey. She laughed. She just thought that was hilarious. How could? I said, "That's what they believe. You come from a monkey." So we got to keep training and teaching, right? Because the enemy wants to have us lukewarm and to just be silent while they keep on passing their bills. So Canada, we're praying for Canada right now. They're trying to pass a bill. And you say, "Oh, that's just Canada. They just don't want it over there." Remember, this is a one world that they want. So when you see this other things, like Denmark with their draft, or different things, the end times and why it is the end times, God's going to cut it short for the elect's sake. Because the end times we're going to see as the days of Noah, these things are happening in our midst. But in the midst of that, we should have peace. We shouldn't fear, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Sometimes we have to shut the news off because the news promotes fear. You got to be afraid of this. You can't go outside. There's a lion out there. Stay in your house. Don't talk to anybody. So we thank you, Father, for... We ask for wisdom in these end times. We ask for a brave, courageous spirit for what we face. And we thank you, Lord. You said you'd never leave. You're not going to forsake, but you want us to ask. So we ask that we might receive wisdom to know we can't fight this enemy in our own strength, but you know how to, and we're on your side. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage, at the top right, is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.